This word today is for all of us, all Christians, and it was from Jesus Christ. And the word today is about disciples and discipling. It will be an interactive time, so stay awake, you're included, okay? During which I shall be ably assisted by my readers. There, so today is good value, like Francis's cards. You'll get good value because there are six of us. Hey, So the interactive will be in way of you answering some questions, right? And I have some backup answers also. Right, the first one is, what is a disciple? That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Who is a Christian disciple? Who is a Christian disciple? Yes, pretty straightforward, isn't it? So, let's have a dictionary definition, shall we? It's a person who accepts the teachings of another whom he or she regards as a leader. Bit of Latin here.
Discipulos,
which means a learner. And the Greek is mathetes, which means more than just a student or learner. They are a follower. They were followers in the Old Testament. Moses and the Pharisees had their followers. They were not called disciples. The word disciple is first used of the 12, and later of Christians generally. Can you see how you all come into this? Describe a disciple. Description of.
Disciple comes from, does it link together with the word discipline? So in a sense, it's a hard word, maybe, but disciplined by Jesus.
That's very good. Is a Christian who has placed his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's one who has given up everything. Let's check that. Luke 14:33. Let's see how they do them. And John 1, verses 12 and 13.
But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Yes. He, the Lord, gave the right. Membership in God's family is by grace alone. A gift of God, given and lovingly received by belief and faith in his name. And following on the descriptions, it has been born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. John 3, 1, verses 1 to 7.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Yes.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again.
Yes, the emphasis there. Jesus said you must be born again. It's a command. 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is continuing on with the description of a disciple.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 3:18.
But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit.
Wonderful. So, 2 Corinthians there is, belongs to Christ and is being transformed. That's an ongoing work into the likeness of Christ. And that work will go on until the day of Christ comes. We will be perfected in the day of Christ. Christ himself is the glory of the fullness of its radiance. We who believe are made partakers of this glory. Galatians 2:20.
I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me.
2:20, good. A true Christian is a believer in Christ who will also become, that ongoing again, an obedient disciple, and has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, enabling him to take up his cross daily, without which we cannot follow Jesus Christ. There's not an easy way. It's hard but possible, and there are great rewards in it. The cross was an instrument of death, and here symbolizes the necessity of total commitment, even unto death, on the part of Jesus' disciples. We will see in Mark 8:34.
When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
Mm-hmm. And Luke 9, verses 23-24.
Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it."
That's right, yeah. Discipleship begins with a call. See that in Matthew 9, verse 9.
As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him.
This call is issued to every human being and requires a totally committed life, which costs everything. Acts 2:38-39.
Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself."
There are 4 blessings in there. Number 1, repentance. which is turning away from the former lifestyle. Baptism, which is whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Two promises, will, promises. Three, forgiveness of sins and receipt of the Holy Spirit. To do with the call, we are called in for training through discipleship and then sent out for serving in the world. Romans 11, verse 29.
For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. So positive. God does not change his mind about his call. Even though Israel is presently in a state of unbelief, God's purpose will be fulfilled in her. When God calls, simply answer, "Here I am, Lord." I'd like to share about a blessing I had from someone who came to me and said, not Lord, but here I am, Colin. And it was in the large house we had. We had the Christian school that we started. The secretary needed to come and stay with us in the house. And the first Saturday that she was available, she came into the office and she said, "Colin, I can give you 2 hours, whatever." It was unconditional. "I can give you 2 hours." And this is how we need to come to God. Perhaps not 2 hours, but we need to say, "Here I am, Lord." Romans 8, 28.
And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
His purposes, that's the important one. We are called according to his purposes for us, which include, there are scriptures for this, but I won't read them all. This is what his purposes include. To live in peace, we're called to this, to one hope, to godly peace, to be free, to be saved, to eternal life, to a holy life, to become a royal priesthood, to inherit a blessing, to eternal glory, and to be kept by Jesus Christ. Who could not respond to a calling like that? Praise God. Now the question, what is a Christian disciple? What is Christian discipleship? We've had it before, so if you're paying attention. Lifestyle, yes. Yes, sir. Christian discipleship is the process, here it is again, by which disciples grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and are equipped by the Holy Spirit which resides in their hearts. According to Scripture, being a Christian disciple involves personal growth. There it is again, it's ongoing. Characterized by the following. Mark 8:33.
When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it.
Yeah.
For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation Of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Yes. Yeah. There are seven things there I'll draw out. Puts Jesus first in all things, denies himself, ceases to make self the object of his life and actions, possesses the willingness to take up his cross, to suffer and die for the Lord's sake, follows the commands and teachings of Jesus, is an obedient doer of the word, and has fruit that lasts. Now the question, should we produce fruit? No, don't be caught out. Remember the vine? Yeah, think about the vine. What happens? All right. The answer to that is no. Surprising, isn't it? Right, the answer lies in John 15, verses 1 to 8, which is the one about the wonderful passage about the vine.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, and that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. They are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. For this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, for you will be my disciple.
That's it. So I hope that explains the answer now to should we produce fruit. We are to abide, and then the Lord will produce the fruit. We are to abide in Christ, and then the Holy Spirit will produce the fruit in our lives and the lives of others through our new conduct, thoughts and actions. As we change on the inside, the fruits will be evident. And I have Bible studies available to show the how-to, the practical outworking of the Christian faith. Disciples should learn how to live a Christ-shaped life in the midst of a world which resists this. Love for other disciples. How? John 13, verses 34 and 35.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
That's right. The verses in, I need to read this, in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 to 13, which is about love, show us that love is not just an emotion, it is action. As disciples, we are told to think more highly of others than ourselves. Discipleship attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus in Philippine. Disciples are to put off their old corrupted self and to put on the new self as action. Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. 22 through to 24.
You put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
Hallelujah. Liz, you've waited very patiently. You weren't left out. So he wants us to be so taken up with him that we never think about ourselves. Never. And the only impression left on others by our life is that Jesus Christ is having his unhindered way. Jesus is the perfect example to us for everything we are to do in our Christian walk. He is the way. Evangelism. Making disciples of others. We come to the Great Commission. What is it? Jesus, isn't it? We'll check that out in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Matthew.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
So the dictionary definition of commission is helpful here. The dictionary is that a warrant. It is a warrant or a document giving authority. That's important. We know that, of authority. We are to tell non-believers about the wonderful changes that Jesus Christ has made in our lives. We should pray for opportunities to do this and then make the most of them. Colossians 4, 5.
Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time.
Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. For this, the teacher needs to be seen to be walking in obedience to these commands. And we will not be alone during this time, because Jesus has promised to be with us always. Because Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and he is with us by his Holy Spirit, we also have the same authority through the same Spirit. We're by no means paupers. Should disciples make disciples? Oh, it's a brave one amongst us. Bold is the word, isn't it? Hallelujah. Well, let's just see if that's right, shall we? 2 Timothy 2, verses 1. Oh, you've been peeping, have you?
"You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also."
Hallelujah. Disciples should pass on what they have heard and learnt during their training. So during that training they need to pay attention, because they're going to need to pass that on. If it stops here, it will die. But if it goes out, it will live. Hallelujah. Another question. I know you're all eagerly waiting for this, aren't you? How are disciples recognized? Yes.
The gospel, being sent to the Lord.
There is a distinguishing mark of fellowship. I'll help you. What is it? distinguishing mark?
Joy.
Nearly.
Joy.
Love. And that's found in John 13, verses 34-35.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another.
Mm.
By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Yeah, that's our distinguishing mark. Right. Another question. Have disciples been given authority and power? We've had this before. It's been in there. Right, okay. All right, if it's yes, to do what? Have we understood the command? More specific than that, huh? Okay. It's to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Every. Positive, isn't it? Now we come to an interesting part. How do I qualify to be a disciple? I know you're all eagerly waiting, aren't you? Mm-hmm. How do I qualify to be a disciple? We should not disqualify ourselves from this service to Christ because we do not have the right credentials. Our CV should simply state that we have a willing heart to follow Jesus. The next time you feel like God can't use you, just remember this and be encouraged. I have a list here. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Oh. Jonah ran away from God. Naomi was a widower. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate locusts. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacharias was too small. God used these people. Don't disqualify us. We mustn't disqualify ourselves, huh? And some characteristics of the 12, those close to Jesus, amongst them was impulsive, ambitious, short-tempered, judgmental, questioning attitude, despised, outcast, and doubting. Among those close to Jesus, there's hope for us, isn't there? Hallelujah. There are three reasons why we cannot be Jesus' disciples. What are they? See if that's in Luke 14:26, verse 27.
If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Yeah, the three. Hate does not mean ill will, but to choose Christ over all others. That who does not bear his cross to follow Christ and to die to being self-centered. Number three, and does not forsake all that he has. A definition of discipling. is to bring into an orderly spiritual state those who had been dislocated and disjointed by sin, and then to advance them therein so that each might contribute to the good of the whole. And I've kept the easiest question till last. I wonder if you'll think so. Why is making disciples so important? There are a lot. There are several. Thank you. But I have simply because Jesus told us to. We must do that in obedience. That's it. Folks, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We've heard about the call, and if Christ is calling you today to discipleship, because he will call. If he hasn't already called you, he will call. And you need to answer. Now, what's the answer? When he calls you to discipleship. Here I am, Lord. Thank you, Father.